I hate to look at Romans 7, but I feel we need to. Because I think the more we see man and what he can do, the more we realize what God has done for us in Christ Jesus and what he has freed us from. What the death of Jesus Christ is all about. Or at least I trust that that is what is happening in our hearts. Romans 7. There's many things that we could say before we go into Romans 7. But we need to see what Romans 7 is all about. It's about the law as it's revealed in the first few verses there. It's Paul is speaking to brethren. He said, "Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law." In other words, they know what the law was about. They knew who gave the law. They knew what the law did. And then he brings the illustration to them. How that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, we don't have to go back too far to realize that up to this time, everything was based upon the outward. Everything was based upon the letter of the law. The do's and the don'ts. I don't think any of us have to go back too far to realize this. You could go all the way back to the garden where God said, "Do not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And we see the beguiling effects of temptation as the devil moved in to draw them out of that place that God has created man for. And this is what we need to realize tonight. We don't see the seriousness of it, I'll tell you that. We don't see the dangers. We don't see the aspect of even thinking in these areas. And that's why we're not really interested in any way of being critical, but we need to come up out of this place into what God has given to us. And I believe this is what he is trying to set the whole tenor of this particular passage to move right into 8. But let's go through it. Because he's telling them the binding power of the law. And there's only one thing that can free you from the law, and he uses the illustration of the law of marriage in these first 5 verses. Let's read it. "For the woman that has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." Now, this don't get just taken up with that. This get taken up with what he is trying to speak about. He's speaking about the law. And he's illustrating it from this point. "So then, if while a husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she is married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye shall be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruits unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruits unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." We're looking at 2 dispensations. We're looking at the old and the new. And I feel that's all we need to look at. We don't need to go too much farther in our speculation or in our dividing, because here is the place, the old and the new. And if we could see it, there's nothing that bridges the two. You can't bring one over. There's nothing that can build a bridge between the newness of the Spirit or the oldness of the letter. That's why in the middle of it stands the cross, the death. And there's where we were loosed from the law. And there, at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, were the possibilities for each one of us to enter into all that He had provided for us in grace. Now, I am aware, you are aware, and we could probably write a number of books on what all of the religious words are pertaining to salvation. And in speaking about these things, as we refer, and I'll try to refer just as little as I can to them, but we will have to refer a little bit, but referring to them, we're only saying that what we see around us today, without exception, that is religion, is nothing more than those that are under the law. I don't care what they're preaching. They can be preaching grace. Because see, the first thing is, we have defined what we think Christianity is. And because somebody names the name of Jesus, these people name the name of God. Just because somebody names the name of Jesus, just because somebody talks about grace, does not mean that they're freed from the law. And I think we need to see it ourselves, because too often our prayers, even before the Lord, we are praying separate from the purpose that God has designed in Christ Jesus. We want God to do something in us when He's already made every provision for us in Christ. So what we're doing is praying for ourselves outside of God where we're at in Christ. It will change our whole prayer life, beloved, if we see the mystery. As I say, we can't allow ourselves to stand still. We can't allow ourselves to be condemned. We've got to see ourselves in Christ Jesus. Now, let's go a little bit farther. Remembering now, there's no way that we can bridge the two. That's why Jesus Christ came and death. The old man, everything in Adam, what died. Brand new creation. That's why it's referred to so many times in the Scriptures, and particularly in two places, and that's in Romans 8 and in the book of Ephesians. And a number of places implied in Corinthians. The quickening power of God, the resurrection from the grave, the same power, the same Spirit. Now, we sell that short, and I know that our minds run to many different manifestations. Beloved, it is the life of God that we're talking about. It's a brand new creation. And well, we can rejoice in that, can't we? I was looking there at Simpson's song. Once it was a blessing, now it is the Lord. And you can just read on down through that, and you can see here's a man that came into religion and finally found the reality in Christ. When he ends up with the song, there's a reality. No longer is it the blessing. No longer is it the healing. No longer is it all of these other things. Because what are we in Christ? We have been blessed with what? Come again. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the secret. You know, where are we? That's the question, right? What shall we say then? after seeing the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for had I not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, here's what law does. He's giving you an exhortation here of what law does. Wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. There was no law without, there was no sin without the law. The law was that that pointed out sin and caused sin to be revealed in its full manifestation. And of course, this here, seventh chapter of Romans, I feel, is one of the revelations to our heart as far as the religion of man. Now, when I refer to religion, I'm not talking about the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about religion. So understand what I'm saying. I need to make a distinction. The church that I talk about and refer about is the body of Christ, those that are connected to the head, those that are in Christ Jesus, those that are led by the Spirit. And of course, that's a mouthful, because every one of those things has tremendous implications if we just follow them on out to the end. Let's go on to see what Paul is saying here. For I was alive without the law once. In other words, when there was no law, when he was not conscious of these things, didn't mean that God did not always have this law as far as Paul was concerned, but when the law came, sin revived and I died. It killed him. The commandment, which was ordained to life, and that ordained to life means that if you're going to do this, you're going to have to live by it. That's what he's talking about. I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. The word Paul was finding, you'll find on as we go on down here, there's a struggling in. Even though we use the same terminologies as many people, you'll find that this struggling is there. There's always the bidding. If it's not for sanctification, it's for a holier life. It's for a rededication. All of this is an outward. All of this is what I can do. And as I say, we're not trying to say these things to be critical, but we need to see what faith is all about. We need to see what Christ has done. We need to realize what the liberty that we have been set free into really means. Because if we don't, we too will be found in this place of doctrines, creeds, forms, a gathering of people that believe certain things. That's religion. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Jesus said to the woman, your father worshiped in the mountain. Jews worship down here in Jerusalem. But he said, my father is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he's cutting just what we're talking about, right at the whole core of what we're saying. He's cutting at everything that the law was. He didn't come to do away with it. He came to fulfill it. We've heard a lot about the law, here nor there. But beloved, all I can say is tonight that if we start to think on the realms of the law, of what we can do and the demands that are upon us and our response rather than our union with Christ, then we're drawn right out of this place that God has created for us in Christ Jesus. It's no longer I, but Christ. We'll get to that just in a moment also. Was then that which was good made death to me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. All we're saying here is the law revealed sin for what it really was. The outward demand to do what man could not do within himself. And that's what God did. He gave the law as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What does that mean? To bring us into a new creation. No bridges from the old. Nothing we can bring over. Brand new creation, brand new working. Everything up to the cross was what man could do with God's demands. And God laid down his demands. Is that true? Did he not lay down his demands? He was very, very open in laying down his demands. They were holy, given from God. The law is holy because it came from God. And when we look at it, we can rejoice in it because it reveals to us a holy God. It came out because of who he was. It was not given to give life. And we need to understand that. We're not under commandments. Remember, it's brand new. He came, fulfilled it, nailed it to the cross. We're in a new, if you might call it, dispensation. Dispensation of the Spirit. And I don't know whether we fully realize what that means. A little bit, praise the Lord for that, a little bit, but I don't feel that we fully grasp what that means. Because we try so hard to mix the old with the new. Let's go on and finish this here before we get too far into that. For we know that the law is spiritual. Spiritual because it came from God. Spiritual because of who God is. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. And what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Then, how then is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwells within me? In other words, he's captive, is he not, to sin. He's still responsible. But he wants to serve God. The sinner out here is not that. We're talking about the religious man. We need to see this. Honestly, we need to see it. This is the religious man. Now remember my definition of religion. It is a group of people gathered together under a doctrine or creed. Jesus Christ did not come to give us a religion. He came to give us life. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And beloved, this is one of the requirements of the religious world. As far as their members are concerned, they must realize this this statement, that in me dwells no good thing. Because most of them have created either a system that takes their sins away or doctrines that takes their sins away. Now, I'm not going to go into every one and all of the different philosophies that there are, but I'm sure that most of us are aware of many of these doctrines, teachings, that does this. And this is what he is saying here. For to will is present with me. In other words, I will. I want to. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the ability to do it. And that's why we find today all of the excuses that we find around us in the religious world. Not in the church now, in the religious world. That's why we cannot gather together in doctrine. We cannot formulate certain creeds that we believe. Our life must be an active relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in union with Him. If we stop anywhere along the line, we become a religion. What we want to do, we can't do. The demands are there. We acknowledge that they're there. They're good demands. We want to, but we can't. The minute that we move out of the Spirit, we have fallen from grace. Remember what I said grace was, and it's just not my definition of it. You search it out for yourself. Grace is God's ability. That's what Galatians, and you need to study Galatians again, see it more clearly. Brother Sheets has just gone through it here not too long back, the book of Galatians, but you need to see it for what it really is. Because here is a people that moved in one action, one area, back underneath the law, and they were fallen from grace. They had now taken up what they could do for God to be accepted. Who has bewitched you? Did you start in the Spirit and you're going to finish in the flesh? I'm trying to interject these things as we go along down through this, because what we're looking at is the flesh. What the flesh can do. And this is what religion. This is everything that religion. Now, I just heard a report over the religious broadcast today. The report was that the meeting in Singapore is over. And they come away with this agreement that there is enough money in the Christian, that's their statement, my statement, the religious community, to evangelize the world by 2,000. Now, what does that tell you? That's what man can do. That tells you immediately what man can do. You don't have to ask no questions unless you're deceived. You say, then what do we need to do? Just what the Word of God says. Those that are led by the Spirit. Who's building the church? The Spirit is building the church. Any time that man meets to do something for God, you can take and label it immediately without being critical. Religion. Now, you're going to have to search this through for yourself. You're going to have to be convinced before God. But we need to see what grace is. And as I've said, I think we dimly see, but I don't think we want to take and draw that line. That's what I find as I talk to some of you and to others. People are not willing to draw the line where God draws it. We don't want to cut out anybody. And of course, the love of God doesn't. But the thing is, There's another thing about cutting out. We don't want to draw the line so people can step across the line and know the reality of grace. If you don't draw the line, then you must compromise. You must go back and accept and make your own bridge between the law and grace and the Spirit. And we do it because we're not willing to draw that line. We can't say, and I'm not saying tonight, what about all of the saints of old? What about, and you could go on and name them and name them. I could name all of these, you know, men that we talk about and have books that have Reformation and all of these other things. What about them? Are you going to base your salvation on them? Are you going to stand here tonight if we have to and justify them? Or do we stand justified in the truth, which is Christ? That's what I'm saying. We're going to have to take and draw the line, because draw the line in our own hearts and our own minds, that there is a line of the old and the new. When we come down to it, none of us can judge those that have lived in the past, whether it's been back in the Reformation or wherever it may have been. None of us can judge those. God is their judge. So we don't have to draw the line on them. We don't have to say whether they're saved or unsaved. We just need to see the plan of God so that we can get people today over the line of law into grace. And we've got to so know what grace is that we're not going to let them drag us back into the law. And it's easy, because they appeal day after day. Wherever you go, wherever you're talking to religious people, to get you to do something for God, separate from your union with Christ. When you start talking about union, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't know what you're talking about. They don't know what it means in Christ. Because that is active. That is living. And everything that God is doing is living. And that may be even a rebuke to us. In many areas, we started in the Spirit. Are we going to finish in the flesh? Are we going to do now what we can do or what God can do? Are we going to move in the Spirit? Are we going to live in the Spirit? Are we going to gather together in the Spirit? Are we going to be led by the Spirit? Or do we fall back into our own natural abilities? And if you don't believe that what I'm saying is true, then you see the abilities of man today in the religious world. See what they have done for God. This building here, if it was piled page upon page with Bible-thin paper, couldn't contain the record of what man has done for God. Flesh. Flesh. Now, maybe you don't like to draw that line. I'm drawing that line tonight, and I hope that you see it to where you can draw it. Because when you come out of the line, when you've drawn the line, you don't come out with critical spirit. You come out in the spirit of love. You realize what God has done. You don't come out to criticize. I'm not here to criticize. But I'm here that we can see the difference tonight between the law, how to be free from the law, what the law does. The devil has no better place to take and entice man except in a religious setting by his own works. That's what he did with Eve. That's what he's done all down through the ages. That's why religion today, listen to it, an angel of light, ministers of righteousness, where are they going to be? in religion. Hard for us, isn't it, to conceive this? Only those that are led by the Spirit, that are sensitive to the Spirit, are going to be able to discern the working of God and the working of the devil. Because what the devil today is doing is building a religious system. Ministers of righteousness. Don't want to scare us now, because a lot of times we grab these things and it scares us. We don't realize that we're in Christ. It starts appealing to our natural mind. Brothers, I want us to take and have understanding. Let me just refer back over to the prayer of the Apostle Paul. We've gone over it so many times, but let me just look at it again with you. The book of Ephesians, in the first chapter, after he has gone through there, and it has to be 14 or 15 times spoken to us of what we are in Christ. Then he goes on to say, listen, here's the prayer. This is where our prayers need to find meaning, because it leaves all of what we can do outside and brings us into the revelation of the new creation. Listen to it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. That's the revelation that we're talking about as far as grace is concerned. You don't see anything in there, what I can do. God help me. It's what I am in Christ. God give us a greater revelation. That's what we need to see. That's what we need to be praying. Let me see who I am. Let me see my responsibility in this revelation. Let me pray according to your purpose. Because if we're praying to help our poor condition outside of this relationship, we're out here struggling. There is no joy. There is a strife for tearing back and forth. We're living in our feelings. We're living in our own reasoning. Not in Christ Jesus, brother. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you're going through in Christ Jesus. What did Apostle Paul say? He says, neither death nor life or anything. He just went on and on and on. Can separate me. Where? From that union with that love of Christ that we're bound into. Beloved, we're freed. We're set at liberty from what we can do. It's now the power that works within us. We need a revelation of that. A revelation of the power of God that works within the believer. Is that true? Not what you can do. Not what you can work up. It's not working up your emotions. It's the Holy Ghost. Paul said, the Spirit that worketh in me. How? Mightily. Glory. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is a religious person. You've heard him say it time and time again. I have heard them say it over and over again. I love Jesus. I want to do the will of God. But you know, we fail all the time. In Christ Jesus, there is no failures. Come on, you mean I can't fail? Wait a minute. In Christ Jesus, you can't fail. In Christ Jesus, you can't sin. Listen, follow me as I say. You ought to have been around here long enough to know what I mean when I say that. You have to be drawn out before you can sin. You can't sin when you're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that power, to know that peace that passes all understanding. I don't care what the trial is, what the testing is. The peace of God, where? In union with the Spirit. the peace that passes all understanding. It's there. What are we praying for it about? It's ours in Christ Jesus. Let's go on to pray for greater things. Let's pray for souls. Let's pray for God's working. Let's pray that God will bring in, that He will send more men into the harvest field. Are you following what I'm saying? Can we claim the promises that are ours? Have to go back again. Have to read that again. Go back over there again and look at it. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Being led by the Spirit to Ephesians 1, right? What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Has God ever done anything halfway? We all can say, never. The thing is, we're out here struggling. When we want to do good, we can't. We're worrying. We're taking things up in our own strength, what we can do. It isn't what you can do. We've said it time and time again in the last few weeks, but let me say it again. It's the power of God. It's what God can do in you. It's the Holy Spirit working, bringing everything into focus. Let's go ahead and finish this. But I see a law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. Amen. Captive to sin. No question about it. And this is where the religious, I won't call them evangelicals, activists. Let me call them religious activists. Here's where they're at. Crying out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Go in their midst. Afraid of dying. Beloved, I said and I'll say it again tonight, that when you come into Christ, you're ready to die. Hallelujah. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, here's where it comes. Here's where deliverance comes. Here's where the liberty comes. I know we've had much said about this liberty back and forth over a number of years. Many have lost the way because of the liberty. Grabbed it in the letter, grabbed it in their own minds. They wanted the liberty that to do what they want to do. But the liberty is that I've been set free from the law, set free unto Christ. Set free in grace. What God can do. You say, brother, that just leaves me undone. Hallelujah, that's where it leaves me. I can't do anything. But I'm standing fast in the liberty. That's what Paul tells the Galatians, when it stands fast in the liberty. Come on, who bewitched you? But now you've been set free. Now stand fast in that liberty. The liberty which is ours and the grace of God. The working out of His purpose. And then to go on into Romans 8. And we're not going through Romans 8 tonight, which I'm sure that you're aware. We couldn't even start on Romans 8. We'd be here tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night. Not joking. Romans 8 is in Christ. Romans 8 tells us that our bodies, I don't care what our difficulties are no hindrance
Because the Holy Spirit has made us alive, has quickened us, brought us into union with Christ.
Religion. I don't want to say too much more about it, but beloved, you need to get a full understanding of it. Because we can't drift in there in any place. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. That's what we read over there in Galatians. So that's why I'm saying we can't just accept a little bit of it. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Just a little bit. But we only are talking about circumcision in Christ. Whether you're circumcised or whether you're not circumcised has no meaning. It isn't what you do or what you don't do. You've heard that remark made here not too long back. I make it again tonight. It's not what you do or don't do. It's who you are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, what you do will come out of that relationship. That's grace, led by the Spirit. And as you read this, you'll see that everything in this area of the new life is triumph. Everything. Not just some things, everything. I don't care what it is, we are more. We're going to triumph in Christ Jesus in everything. Let's still get that scripture over there in 2 Corinthians for me to read it. Second Corinthians 2:14. He causes us to triumph in every place. What a freedom, right? What a salvation. Amen. I hope we haven't been looking at it from a lowly place and seeing it as something that we have to do. It's nothing you can do. That's why the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why He quickens. That's why Jesus Christ has become the knowledge, the wisdom. He has become the salvation. Nothing we can do. He is our supply. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're talking tonight about grace. We're not talking about inactivity. We're not talking about sitting down and doing nothing. We're talking about getting active in God. We're talking about the Spirit of God moving. What is the religious man doing tonight? All kind of things. Having their meetings. Having their visitation programs. They don't need God for these things. Agreeing on their doctrine. Don't need God for that there. Sending missionaries out. Don't need God for that. Meeting and gathering and preaching and singing. You don't need God for that. Do you? Come on, follow me, because I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to show us how far man can go without God. Sometimes we don't believe this. We think this because people name the name of Jesus. But I bring you back to the Scriptures. Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done many wonderful things? And He said, depart from me, I never knew you. There was no union with Christ. It is important tonight that we know what the fullness of the Spirit is. And beloved, if we're not very careful, we may slip back into that area of religion. Because we do not give the Spirit His place when we gather together. We're not looking for the Spirit to manifest Himself. We're not prepared vessels that He can lead us and guide us and manifest Himself in that supernatural working of spiritual life.
We get to the place that we're not looking, as I said the other time that I shared with you. We're not looking when we gather together to hear God speak to us.
Because when He speaks, it is the anointing, it is the Holy Spirit of God that's going to bring the revelation to bear within our hearts and nourish us and feed us. We cannot fall back into a lethargy and a form of gullies, denying the power of God. The power of God is working in the heart of those that are in union with Christ. And if we're not in union, we can get in union. Chapter 7. The law. Holy. From God. Religious. Men formed one of the greatest religious programs this world has ever seen. Israel did that. And now we see the devil moving on through to Christianity to establish a one world religion. They want to call it the church. But tonight, I won't let them call it the church. Rather, just sanctify the word church to those that know God, to those that are moving under His headship, to those that know the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, to those that are moving in union with Him, those that know the mighty working power of God in our lives. Before I sit down tonight, let me just take us back to Galatians for a moment here and look at a few things. Because we just looked at a few things in Galatians here on this past Sunday that were brought out about the cross, the glorying of the cross, where the world was crucified to Him and Him to the world, speaking about Paul. In the 5th chapter, let me just show you what this law does. For I testify, 3rd verse, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. He's going to have to live by it. And that's why Paul said, you know, what I thought was to life was really unto death. He's going to have to live by it. Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, here we are, through the Spirit, that's where we've been delivered. We've been delivered into the liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Shout it. Are you free? Are you really set free in liberty? Because that liberty is abiding in Him. Abiding in grace. Waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, here it is, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Glory. That's a glorious statement. Think we could sing about 30 minutes about that? Rejoice. Amen. We ought to. I don't know about you tonight, but this is a great salvation that God has given to us. Himself. Beloved, it's nothing that the old could even... The glory of the old has no comparison with that which we have received in Christ Jesus. This glory of this excels anything that our minds can even imagine. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It hadn't even entered into the heart of man. What God has prepared for those. And I'm talking about right here in grace.
much more what He's prepared for us in eternity. Right here in grace, what He has prepared for us. Narrow is the way. Very few there are that find it. It's a straight gate that we're talking about. It's those that are led by the Spirit of God. Those that live in the Spirit of God. Those that live in union with Christ. Now these are just words, beloved, unless we enter on in and live in this experience. Because it'll become doctrine to us unless we live it out. You can see back through history that when people entered into the religious activity, it was because the Spirit of God had gone. Every time. When man entered in with the program, it was because the Spirit had gone. When man entered in with all of the different entertainments that he has today, as good as you may think they are, there's nothing but flesh. Come on. I don't think we fully see it. Well, I don't see anything too bad with this. I don't think too bad with this. Wait a minute. It's man's efforts. They're not singing in the Spirit. Are they? Making melody in their hearts to God. Are they? You can't be when you're dressed up in a robe different from everybody else. And again, brother, I'm still not trying to grab. I'm just trying to show you. We do not see these things as detrimental, and that's why that day they're so deceived that when the devil himself manifested in a man, the Antichrist, they will bow down to him as God. That's how deceived the religious world will be. And that's why tonight, beloved, the religious world is not going to change. You may hope that they will. God will save people out of the religious world, but the religious world is not going to change. In fact, it's going to get stronger as the day continues to go on. As the day of the Lord approaches, the religious world is going to grow and join their hands more and more. It's compromise ever along the way. The compromise is, it starts out, I want to, but I can't. And so we make a way that we can be accepted, that we can soothe this natural man, the conscience. You have to take and continually do it over and over again. You grieve the Spirit to where he's already gone. You can trace church history. And you can see when the Spirit left, what man brought in to take his place. Now today, oftentimes we accept this. And so thus we're not filled with the Spirit. We don't come together in union with the Spirit of God. And when we don't, and we don't have our life prepared and the power of God working, pretty soon we get tired and either we drift away or we bring the program in. Because brothers, we just can't sit. God wants a fullness in his body, functioning under the direction of the Holy Spirit, not under man. And when we don't, pretty soon, we want man to function. We don't care what the price is. Even if we have to pay. You don't think you're involved that much? Sure, labor is worthy of his hire. No question about that. But I think we need to be led by the Spirit in that, don't you? Do you think there's anything that God doesn't want to have control of and lead in? Do you think there's any aspect of the church that God doesn't want his will to be done in? No. That's what the law was all about. What man could do.
It built its temple, and the glory of God came there. Not in man. He came there because at that time he could not come to abide in these temples. But now he has. There's no other dispensation. There's no other end. We're seeing the climax of everything being brought into the fullness in Christ. That's what we're seeing. Ever how large the working or small the working, that's what we're seeing. That's going to be the end result when Christ is all in all. That's what the end of this is all about. And beloved, I can only say this. If we're not enjoying him now, I'm sure we won't be there to enjoy him for eternity. Because that's all there is to enjoy, is Jesus. He said, don't sound very exciting. It is. It's exciting every day. And that's why sometimes we need to take and move on in the grace of God and quit struggling within our own selves. And that's why I brought this out, tried to bring it out as strong as I could tonight. When you find yourself struggling, saying, oh God, let me just rest in your grace. Your ability, you'll work it out. You're a child, aren't you? You're not a servant that he's taken and chained around the knee with a ball. You're his son. He's given to us all things in Christ. We're freed. Tonight, beloved, we stand free from the law. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. You start to see what grace is a little more? We won't stop talking about grace. We've talked about it for years. We're going to keep on talking about it because it's God and God's working. But the grace of God is tied to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's tied to faith, our relationship with God. Everything else is nothing more than it is. Everything, what God is doing, must begin in Christ. He's the author and the completer of our faith. I hope we see just a little bit about law tonight. And how far we can go and think that we're in grace and still in our own strength trying to do something for God. Grace brings us to a place of rest. It brings us to a place of peace. And beloved, it gives us a true joy of our salvation. It's not predicated on your feelings. It's him. He is our joy. And when we start to move in a more of a fullness in the will of God, the joy will catch up. And everywhere you need to be, everywhere your feelings need to be, it'll all catch up there. And hallelujah, you'll be rejoicing around the throne of grace on that day. Right?